Good morning. Welcome again to the fellowship here this morning. And I trust that that truly was your testimony this morning, that you can say that God has truly been faithful to you in all that he has done for you. Beautiful being able to just to stand and listen to the voices raised together in honor and glory of the Father. And I know that Amanda talked about the 100 voice choir, and wow, I cannot imagine what heaven is going to be like when we all sing together. And wow, it sends chills up and down my spine to think about the fact that we can spend eternity honoring and praising our God with voices that'll never get tired, legs that won't ache from standing. Hallelujah. Are you ready? I'm ready. Bring it on, Lord. We look at the condition of the world that we're living in today, and it tends to possibly bring fear, the world events that are happening. And I know that things around us and you start to ask questions about what exactly is going on, what is happening, what is in the future. I know you think that. I think that. What does God have in store for us? What is his plan? What are we going to experience in the next years? And I think it's a time of life, it's a time in history, a time in reality that we need to be focused more than ever on our relationship with God Almighty. And the only way that happens, as you all know, that have been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, the only way that you have a right relationship, a right standing relationship with God, is through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And today we can stand boldly in the throne room of God and speak to him as our Father, as one who will lead, one who will guide, one who will direct us. And I can say to you from the Board of Ministry, it is our desire, it is the heart of and the Board of Elders, it's the heart and desire of these two boards to lead New Covenant and to do it in a way that honors and glorifies God. We don't know what the future holds, but I assure you that we will walk through it together. And as leaders, we will try to hear from God. We will try to hear what is God saying to us as a body. I believe that we have been charged with the responsibility of being the gatekeepers, and we take that seriously. We do. We care about this flock. And living in the day that we live in and needing wisdom from God, and I know that God, as was shared here earlier this morning, we're not priests or something that God speaks through just for you all the time. There is things I believe that God leads us to lead in the fellowship, but I can't express enough the need for all of us to stand in the throne room of God and hear from him. Because we're living in some dark times. We're living in times that are uncertain. We don't know exactly. And I was reminded of a family member, a relative that got out of bed one night in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. And the room was dark. And he didn't bother turning a light on to not wake up his wife. But as he felt his way to the bathroom, he was going like this to make sure that when he would feel the wall, that he would be able to, you know, find his way in the bathroom door. Unknown to him, the bathroom door was standing straight open. And as he was going like this, the bathroom door came between his hands. He never touched it, and he walked straight into the door and broke his nose. And so we are kind of living in a day, in a time where maybe we feel like you have your hands out and you're wondering, what is God saying? What does he have for me? But I believe that there is a light that God is offering to every one of us if we are willing to open ourselves up and yield ourselves completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And the title of the message this morning is The Lamp of the Body the lamp of the body. And I find it interesting that it's stuck here in this passage of verses, in between sections of verses that are speaking to money and treasures. We heard Andrew last Sunday as he shared about laying up treasures in heaven versus treasures on earth. And God, he spells this out for us. And let's just read the verses here in Matthew 6, 22 and 23. It's like, why did you drop this here, Lord, in this place? Kind of seems like it doesn't fit, but I believe it does. In verse 22 of chapter 6, it says of Matthew, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, clear or healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And I want us to look at that this morning from the standpoint of understanding that we have within us what the thing that our passion is turned towards, what our passion is, that determines whether our body is full of light or full of darkness. And when we have a body when we have a mind or a heart or an eye, as it's described, and I'll get into that a little bit further on, but we have the term that is used, that the eye is the window to the soul. And that's not a biblical term, but if there were a scriptural text that kind of speaks to this, the eye is the window to the soul. It says here, the lamp of the body is the eye. The lamp of the body is the eye. If the eye is good, then there'll be bright, there'll be light, there'll be wisdom that you'll have to be able to walk in this day that we live in. If the eye is darkened, we're blinded and we cannot see. And we walk around trying to feel our way, but we cannot understand because we see darkly. We see through the darkness. And so when it comes to this whole idea of laying up treasures on earth versus laying up treasures on heaven, and then that passage of scripture, the last verse that Andrew ended with is verse 21. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I feel like we're living in a day and a time where Andrew and Eric and I talked a little bit about, as I laid out these scriptures here on the Sermon on the Mount, I didn't notice how closely related they were. Basically what I did was went through the New King James Bible has headings here for each section of verses, and these three sections lay up treasures in heaven, the lamp of the body, which is today, and you cannot serve God and riches, which is next Sunday, that Eric will be sharing with us. And it's like a lot of things that I read kind of put all those verses together. And I was sitting here earlier this week, I was trying to ponder my way through this thing, and I was kind of regretting that I made three different sermons out of this section. And God seemed to assure me, it's okay, Luke. This is something we need to hear right now, in this time, in the culture, in the day that we're living in, and we need to take it to heart. We need to see clearly. We need to see with light like never before. And if we are fixed on laying up treasures for ourselves, then our eyes are darkened. If we are fixed on laying up treasures for heaven, then we are full of light. And so I ask you this morning to evaluate your life, to evaluate your passions. What are the passions of your heart this morning? Do you get up in the morning with the sole purpose of laying up treasures on this earth, or do you get up in the morning with the sole purpose of laying up treasures in heaven? That tells you a little bit about where your light is at, or how the lamp is, or how the eye is, or how the heart is, if you will. The eye is the window to the soul, and I had to think about Louis. And just a little bit about Louis, and I think it lends to the message here this morning. Louis's still with us. I haven't talked about Louis much, but Louis's still with us, and he is being more, the cornfields are gone, the hayfields are gone, and he is spending more time inside the house. And he gets a little grumpy when he's inside, just a little bit like me. But I was sitting there on the recliner the other night, and I had my hand down the side of the recliner, was just kind of scratching on the recliner. And all of a sudden, I noticed Louis peeking around the corner of the sofa with his eye. Just the one eye, it's all I could see, the one eye. But I looked at his eye, and I watched it. And after a while, the pupil got really big, almost as big as his eye. And I knew he was going to attack. You see, so his eye spoke about what was going on inside of him. And I think that for many of us today, we need to recognize, we need to understand what is going on inside. What is my purpose? What is the goals of my life? And I thought about that as I thought about Louis and how selfish Louis is. I mean, he was, again, like I said, spending more time inside, so probably a couple of nights this week, he was at the side of our bed, and he stands up on the side of the bed, and he just scratches on the side of the mattress until you're awake. And then when you get up, and then he chirps a little bit and runs ahead of you to the door. And he's purring that loud that you can hear it just walking beside him. But for Louis, it's all about he wants to be fed when he wants to be fed. He didn't care that I had to get up in the morning and work. He stood there beside the bed and scratched. And if I don't do something, well, he'll go to Karen's side sometimes, but eventually he'll jump up on the nightstand, and then there's activity. But there's a real selfish nature to Louis. It's about him. He wants to feed when he wants to be fed. He wants to go outside when he wants to go outside. He wants to be petted if he wants to be petted. If he doesn't want to, he don't want to. You see, he is a very selfish person, and I wonder where we are at today in this wealthy culture that we live in. Where are we at? Is your eye full of light? Does your eye see what someone else needs? Or is your eye completely fixed on what I need, on what I want, what my desires are to be met when I want them met? And so we'll go there a little bit with this sermon. I try not to keep you too long this morning. I believe it's a scripture that we truly understand. It's a scripture that it kind of falls in here and in between. It seems kind of simple, seems to the point. The lamp of the body is the eye. No questions? The lamp of the body is the eye. So the eye is what receives light. So all of us here understand the importance of light, unless you have been blind. I know that Dave walked around for a while with double vision, and Elvin did too, and understand you understand what it's like to be able to not see clearly, to be able to not be able to function properly. So think about how much light plays into what you do. So I reach for my Bible, and it's the light, it's my eye that gives the body the message to be pick up my Bible. It's done by light. I can see the edge here. I didn't step off the edge because there's light. I can see. So there is the light, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, if it's good, then it will bring forth, your whole body will be full of light. In other words, the whole body benefits from it. So if I am totally self-centered and selfish about laying up treasures for myself on earth, then my eye is not good. Because God's heart for us is that we help each other. God's heart for us is that our minds are fixed on what God wants, what His desires are. Not just what my desires are, but what His desires are. So one of the things that I was reading, and I read something from John Piper that led me to look into this, and he mentioned that in Matthew chapter 20, verse 7, Matthew 20, verse 7, and I'm just going to, if you want to turn there, I'm going to read that. That's not right. Matthew, In Matthew 20:15. So Matthew 20:15, it says this. Here we have the story of the workers in the vineyard that Jesus talked about. And I'll just run through the end of it here quickly, starting at verse 12, saying these last men, no, verse 11, and when they had received their payment, they complained against the landowner and saying that these last men have worked only 1 hour and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to you, to this last man, the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? And the word that is used there is interpreted in this portion of scripture is interpreted in evil, where the scripture that we have for today is interpreted good or bad. And it's the same thing. It's the same, it's just used a different interpretation there. And then I'm going to look again at Deuteronomy. You don't need to turn here, but Deuteronomy 15, verse 9 says, beware. And this is verse 7, it says, if there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother. But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. And then verse 9, it says this, beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart saying, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. So again, here the bad eye is that person that saw the need but was selfish and said, I'm not going to give. And so I think it's very fitting that these here verses, that they fall in this context that they do. That was not a mistake that Jesus was, he just all of a sudden his mind went off on something else like mine does sometimes, but he was on track. That this was something that was worth mentioning is the heart. And we see it throughout the last number of scriptures and passages that we looked at, that what Jesus is going for, the purpose and his sole purpose is to get to the heart. What is your heart? What is my heart? And that's where he's focusing in on when he focuses on these verses, the lamp of the body. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, or your heart, your whole body will be full of light if your heart is good. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Friends, looking at the world condition, the world events, things that are happening, now is really not the time to have our hearts, our minds, our passions fixed on building our earthly kingdom. I know that at all times, our hearts, our minds should be fixed on the kingdom of God and building his kingdom with everything within us. I'm not saying stop going to work and stop doing the things that you do to provide for your family. But this idea that my attitude towards treasures and money have nothing to do with my spiritual life needs to be addressed. And Jesus does. This attitude that my earthly possessions, my money, my houses, my vehicles have nothing to do with my spiritual life needs to be addressed. For me, we live in this culture, and like Andrew shared last Sunday, that if you live in America, if you live in Lancaster County, you are wealthy. I am wealthy. What am I doing with it? What is my passion? What is my heart? What is my desire? If your spiritual eye is darkened, then your whole body will be dark. You can't see. You look through the eye, and it's dark. It's not revealing truth. It's not speaking truth to your spirit. You say, well, you know, I'm passionate. And I'll confess to you that a couple years ago, I put a little bit of money into Bitcoin, or into cryptocurrency. And for a while, and I got into it right before it went. So was I hearing from God? I felt like I was. But after a while, I kept watching. I have the Coinbase app on my phone, and I would keep looking at this, and it'd keep going down and down and down. And after a while, I started checking my spirit. You got a problem, Luke. You got to stop looking at that, because it's affecting what and how you think. It's affecting what you feel. Are you with me this morning? Are you checking your bank account? Are you checking things to see if they're, and does it make you, what does it do? Does it make you feel good if it's good, bad if it's bad? Is your body full of light, or is it full of darkness? Because when it's full of light, it's going to see things from God's perspective. God wants us to be generous, giving people. We understand light. We understand it. We deal with it every day. Light and darkness do not mix. And I feel like today there is an attempt to mix light and darkness. There's an attempt to mix light and darkness. The way we view things is directly affected by the condition of our spiritual heart. The way we view things is directly affected by the spiritual condition of our heart. And our hearts need to be fixed on Jesus Christ. And like I said, Andrew ended last Sunday, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It shows that what God really cares about is our hearts. What he really cares about is where your heart is at, where my heart is at. What are my passions? He uses light and darkness throughout Scripture to describe good and bad. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And when my mind and heart are fixed on him, then I will be full of light. The whole world turns, and we all know that at some point there's always a dark side. There's always light. There's at one point there's light, at another point there's darkness. And we've heard these statements already. Someone says, I couldn't figure out the puzzle until the light came on. Oh yeah, a light bulb. So it was an understanding. It was with clear understanding. Man, I was in the dark until you explained it to me. Now I can see. So I was in the dark until you explained it to me. So when we're in the dark, we are not seeing clearly. We lack understanding. And we view it through the eyes of that. Hank Williams wrote a song, I Saw the Light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. I know some of you probably actually quit singing it, but it's... Now I'm so happy I saw the light, you know. It speaks to a change from darkness to light. When the Spirit of God comes in, there's going to be light. But we need to live our lives according to the light that God gives us. John MacArthur said this, light reveals, darkness conceals. A person in a darkened room that is filled with clutter cannot tell if they are standing in the middle of treasure or trash. A person in a darkened room that is filled with clutter cannot tell if they are standing in the middle of treasure or trash until the light is turned on. Hallelujah. And don't forget this. Don't forget this. Satan comes as what? An angel of light. An angel of light. He wants you to believe that what you're seeing is light. And if it doesn't line up with God's word, if it is contrary to the scriptures, if it is contrary to God's word, it is not light. And therefore, we need to be rooted more than ever. Greed is blinding. Greed is blinding. Andrew shared that last Sunday, that no one confesses to greed. Greed is blinding. I do not believe that I'm greedy. It's blinding. You see, I'm seeing through darkness, not light, to understand that. I'm going to have to jump ahead here a little bit. But one of the things I wanted to say to the congregation this morning is I am so blessed by your generosity in giving. And I listed some of the things. I know that we take offerings here on a Sunday morning, and the mission board is responsible for divvying out funds to different places. And maybe there's those of you here this morning that have given and you don't know where your money has gone to. And I'm just going to read down over a list of the things and the places that money has been served. Safe is what Lauren Miller is part of there, and I don't have all the details on SAFE. Serve India is the pastors that they're supporting in India. Foreign VS support was individuals that went from here into different places that were supported by you all. Fields of Hope, Lighthouse International, Door of Hope, Christmas Project, Life Ministries, Love Inc., New Horizons, and there's U.S. VS support, people that went places here in the U.S. that was supported by you all. Wilderness Way Girls Camp, VBS, and this does not include the mission faith giving that supports our missionaries. But there was $83,781 went to these organizations because of your generosity. Thank you. Thank you for that. But I want to also point out at the same time that laying up treasures in heaven is not entirely about money. See, I think sometimes it's a bit of a trap that we can fall into, that when I've given my money, then I've done my part. You see, laying up treasures in heaven involves our time as well. And time is probably one of the things that we're probably a little more selfish with. But just I call it out to you, it's not just money. But it's also time. Time is huge. And so we need to look at that. And I'm here to tell you this morning that the joy you're looking for will not come if your eye is darkened by a lust for this world's treasures. The joy that you are looking for will not come if your eye is darkened by the lust for this world's treasures. The lust for will darken your eye, and you will not experience joy. There's no joy, there is no happiness that Bitcoin or anything else can bring to you that the spirit of living within the realm of God Almighty and seeing clearly. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Is there a joy that is set before you this morning that supersedes how good your bank account is going to be, how many properties you will ever own? Is there a joy? Is your heart fixed on that joy that is set before you that supersedes anything else? I'm asking you, is it the joy of the Lord that you're seeking, or is it joy of what is here? Because if it's the joy of these things in this earth, then it's darkness. Because it'll all go away. It will all go away. And I don't know where we're at in the financial status of the United States. I don't know. But I really feel like we're at a time where we better hold extremely loose what we have. And the way to hold it loosely is to use it to the honor and glory of God. I'm not saying it's wrong for you to work and provide. That is your responsibility. But I say, Lord, examine my heart. What is my heart behind it? What is the passion behind it? Psalms 139, 23 and 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Search my heart, Lord. Is there any wicked way in me? There was a website called the Experience Project, and in this website, you were able to ask questions and people would respond to them. And as of November 2016, the site had over 36 million visitors, but the site was then taken down. It was gone. But there was one young woman going by the screen name of Beyond Repair offered a particularly honest and insightful response, and her response was this: I prefer darkness over light. The darkness allows me to hide who I am and what I truly feel. In the light, all things have a chance to be revealed. Darkness makes it easier to hide. In the dark, you cannot see what is coming next. The darkness is a place where you can lose yourself. Lost in the dark is a great place to be, because then you are free from what you were and can be what you want. The darkness is bliss. How wrong! And how many people are living like this around us every day, living in darkness and wanting to be in darkness, wanting to be in darkness. How is it this morning? I echo with Leon that there's lost people all around us. There's lost people all around us that are looking for hope, that are looking for something to hold on to. They're looking for something to give life, to give hope. And you won't find it in this world. You will not find it in this world, I assure you. You can read books. You can listen to professors. You can listen to teachers and whatever you want to listen to. But if you are not finding your hope and your source of strength and your light from the Word of God, then you're not finding it. How is it, I ask you, that extremely educated people can conclude that it's okay to kill a baby through abortion? How do highly educated people get to that place? So if it's those people that we are looking to for answers and for hope, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. We need to be in tune with the Spirit of God, and then your body will be full of light. You will see things as God sees them. You will do things as God wants you to do them. You will not do them as the darkness that is around us. We're in a culture that is in moral decay today. The love of money, the root of all evil. It is everywhere. Government leaders are turning a blind eye to abortion and drugs. Why? Money. Business owners cheating employees and government out of what is owed them. Why? Money. Employees get together and they speak disrespectfully of an employer. Why? Because of money. Because somebody got paid more, or I didn't get paid enough. And they get together and they gripe about the leadership of the organization, which is sin. Men, leaders of the home, failing to take their place as the priest, the provider, and the protector. Why? Money. To lay up treasures, to build up this thing on earth that is going to all burn and go away. Amen. When that what is really needed is for men, to be priests of their home, to provide the spiritual leadership, to provide what God wants them to provide for the family. Stop surrendering the leadership to people who are not anointed to do that. You see, it's because of money. And one of the things we have done well here in Lancaster County is we have provided for our families well financially while they suffer spiritually and mentally. If we are not providing for them as the priests, if we are not leading them in spiritual clarity and direction, then we are not providing for them. And what is it that's taking it away? It's our passion. It's the darkness that has filled our bodies. I'm speaking to Luke. Church leaders are falling into moral decay and failing to warn sinners of their sin. Why? Money. Because it might affect what I get paid. I promise you this morning, I will not let that affect me. I say that in humility. and I must quit. But today, the verses that are here, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness. Don't you find that interesting? If the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? I heard someone compare it to black light. Black light is actually a light. I don't know. I can't explain that one really. But if the light that is in you is dark, how great is the darkness? There's no hope. There's no hope. And we all want to live. And then in Philippians 4:4-14, the scripture, I was going to walk you through that yet, but just whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, think on these things. Fix our minds on Jesus. Fix our minds on God Almighty and His power and His direction. And He will be able to lead us. He will be able to lead you and I as we give ourselves to Him, and we will see with light. Our bodies will be full of light when our passion is for Him and not for this stuff. Father, we thank You this morning for Your goodness. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have to look at Your Word. Lord, I pray that You would lead and guide and direct our hearts. And Father, we know that the future is in Your hands. We do not know what the future holds, Father, but we know that again, that as we turn ourselves to You, as we yield ourselves to You, as we give complete honor to You, and we let go of the things of this earth, they will grow strangely dim in the light of Your glory and grace. Father, we pray for that. I pray that for every person that is in this room this morning, that there would be a clear understanding, a clear vision of You, and that the things that have darkened our hearts and minds, Lord, would grow extremely dim and dark so that we would be able to see with the light that was within us. So, Father, I give this congregation to You. I pray, Lord, that as we go out of these doors, that we would be able to continue to be a living, shining testimony. Lord, that when people look in our eyes, they would see You and You alone. That they would not see anger and greed and dissatisfaction and all the other things that can come through our eyes, Lord. I pray for the light. I pray, Lord, that You would be the one that would attract people to You through Your Spirit, not by ours, but by Yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Invite the chorister to lead us in a closing song.